2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message one.
You heard a lot of David, especially you grew up from children's meeting. However, even your teachers do not read the Bible. The children's meeting teacher possibly just pick up a certain session, make it a story, and speak and tell your story. You have no idea what or who is this man. We call him a man who is according to God's heart. This is not our word, right? This is in Acts 13. All of a sudden, Stephen? Yeah, well, here's the seats. Can you sit here? I need your help. This is a message given by whom? Acts 13. By Paul, okay. He said, Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Paul said that he was a man, David was a man who was according to God's heart. And also he said, David served his own generation and slept, or something like that. You know, brother, this is very puzzling because, yeah, here, there's the seats. Right. So, what's your name, brother? Luke. From now on, can we sit these seats for you? Because I may need your help anytime. You know why? Huh? Because nobody should like him. He's a terrible man. Isn't David a terrible man? He can kill somebody and then take over that lawyer, the man who lawyered to him, and actually was a mighty man. Took over his wife. It's really terrible. And even when he died, I don't like his death. You know, the right death would be, I'm going, Solomon, I trust you to God. How good that is. Even his death, he's plotting. You know, you should kill this one, you should take care of that one. And he has formally promised someone, oh, it's okay. Then he told his son, get rid of him. I don't like him. I tell you honestly, in the Bible, if you talk about people you don't like, David's one I don't like. Because I just can't see how can this man go after God's heart. Do you understand what I say? Oh, I think you're young, righteous, you all agree with me? Because you haven't got involved yet. You don't know how fallen a man can be. Young people are, no matter how, with today's internet, you all get pretty messy. But still, you're comparatively, compared with old men, you're comparatively pure. You know, when you read this David, I'm an old man, read David, I don't like it. I don't like him. So it's very hard for me to give you a message and tell you he's wonderful. Because you are going to talk about a man who's terrible. And yet you have to say he's wonderful. You know why? Because the two comments given by the Apostle Paul. Number one, David is a man according to God's heart. That's hard to believe, right? And secondly, David was a man served his own generation. These are the greatest achievement a man can ever get. Brother, a man can only be responsible to two things in his life. Number one, how is he related to God? Number two, how is he related to his generation? You know, you shouldn't think about it. You know, I will be great a contributor 100 years ago, 100 years later to United States or to Canada. That is way too far. You know, Confucius, who was a wise man, a great scholar, he made a very famous statement, which is hard for people to understand. He said, the greatest attainment in human life is that you establish virtue. In other words, you are a very virtuous person. 太上立德. And secondly, you You are very contributive, is that English? Or you offer a lot to your generation. 其次立功. And thirdly, you become a writer. You establish Proverbs. You know, when I first read it, I had a very frustrating training, a feeling because, listen, we all got help from writings. We don't get help from contributions of the generation because they come and go. Do you understand what I say? For instance, the old Bush has a great contribution by rescue Saudi Arabia. That's a contribution. And his son has another contribution by invade Iraq. No one knows what is right or wrong. You have to give this to historian, and you have to know the facts 30, 50 years later. Don't be a Democrat and keep on attacking Bush. He didn't do that bad. You have to give to history, right? But whatever that is, to me, well, whatever you can do for that generation, that should be very limited. But whatever you can do in writing, that will last for the generations to come. That is, the value will be so high. You know? But God comments on David. It's like the first two statements of Confucius. David, firstly, he was according to God's heart. In other words, spiritually, we would say he's a real spiritual man with high virtue. Then secondly, he served his generation. He's very constructive to the generation he was with. Do you get my point or not? And these also point out to two principles. God desires you, a young man, to take care of these two things all your life. This should be your operating, living, your living and operating principle. Number one, you have to be very careful. How are you relate to God? You shouldn't say, I go to mountaintop, I go to Ignite, I go to college training, I was under Titus. You shouldn't say that because this can be the letters help you to be before the Lord. These do not equal before the Lord. To be before the Lord is something different, right? So are you a man according to God's heart? It's very different with how much activities you have, how many things you have done. All these may not mean that much overall. If you have all these activities, eventually you still have no realization of what is God's heart and live a life firmly with God's heart. Oh, I see another beard. Mustache. Is that the flow going on? What are you brothers doing? Watching young full-timers one after another grow beard. Grow a mustache. Two now? How many? Can you all stand up? I can see how many are there. So I can get it over with. How many? Three. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are you a full-timer? No, you're not a full-timer. You are not, right? You two. No, I'm asking full-timers. Is there another trend coming in now that all the young men grow? Yeah, you grow. No. It's a trend now among young people. Okay. There's a trend. Oh, so we all should follow the flow. So next year, no beer, no meeting, including me. We all grow something and come here so we can be in. Brother, anyway, I still tell you the comment a spiritual man said. He said, do you know why you grow mustache or beard? Because you love yourself so much. And you do not, your time is not occupied properly. Do you understand that? For instance, for me, 30 seconds is over, right? That's it. But if I look at my face, well, I'm not so that handsome. Even though I'm old, I still want to be handsome, right? So maybe I grow something here and there and make myself a little attractive. That's self-love. That's why that spiritual man says, he said, you know why you grow beard or mustache? Because you love yourself so much. Then secondly, because you are not occupied enough. Only when you're occupied with dating, you take care of beard. So if you're occupied with Bible reading, you're occupied with preaching gospel, you're occupied with the church life, you're occupied with studying, then you have no time for this kind of thing. But anyway, there's no law on beer, so I just have to keep on being bothered by you. That's it. Am I right? What else can I do? I cannot bring a knife and do it for you. I see two now, Peter, sorry. You sit right in my presence, so even I try not to see you, I can't. And both of them. So when I look over, I see two beard, two mustache. But anyway, Lord Jesus, let's come back. Amen. Let's come back. You know, brother, as a young man, you ask for your life. What will be my life? You know, you all have plans, right? I will be an engineer, I will be a physicist, I will be a teacher, or I will be an artist, or I will be a musician, I will be an architect, I will be what I will be. But God would say this, really all these are irrelevant. You need a living. Because you need a living, you need a trade or profession. Whether it's a profession or a trade, in North America, it's about the same. You know what I mean? It makes no difference that you say I'm a tradesman, I'm a professor. What's the difference? In America, in this kind of society, as long as you have you can make a living, then that's good enough. Yeah, so eventually, you should consider your livelihood. So eventually, you know, I only have this golden time for high schoolers, 6 years, 8 years, for college, 3 years, 4 years, 2 years. Then I will confront the reality of life. At that time, should I or could I have something that make me dignified or decent? That's necessary, number one, right? Number two, at the time I live on this earth, there's a question comes, what is your focus? You see, I have a professor, I have a profession, I'm an engineer, I'm a what. But eventually, you know what may happen? That eventually, that something occupies you to a point. Your profession become first. Your job become first. Or your career become first. And the Lord and the things of the Lord become second. Therefore, here I'll mention two things. Number one, he said, as a man, you realize you must go according to God's heart. And number two, as a man, you must serve your generation. According to God's heart is your person. Serve your generation is your labor. You must be the right person with the right labor. Your right person calls you to be before God. Your right labor calls you to serve your generation. They are so simple, yet they are so profound. So eventually, you realize, even Abraham, even Isaac and Jacob, even Moses were not mentioned as much in the New Testament as David. David is the one mentioned the most. And the one who gave most to the Bible, of course, in the Old Testament, number one is Moses. He wrote He wrote the Pentateuch, right? Then number two is David. David composed majority of the Psalms, all the 150 Psalms. 50% or more are written by David. These are great men. Yet, for some reason, when you come to the New Testament, Peter mentioned David. James mentioned David. Paul mentioned David. Seems there's a great servant raised up by the Lord. This very servant of the Lord will use David as part of their ministry. In other words, David has the greatest effects to Israelites and also even to the New Testament age with our Lord Jesus and with great apostles. So brothers, you ask why? Why he's a man after according to his heart? Why he's a man serving his own generation? Because you know he has problems. Don't you realize? I would say later will come, maybe tonight or tomorrow will come. He was much better than Saul, isn't it? Saul is the one who tried to kill him, right? Behavior-wise, look, when Moses said, when you go to the good land, if you would have a king, make sure you will not have many wives. You will not have what? You will what? And David just about violated every statement Moses gave concerning kingship. Whatever Moses said, David seems, of course not, no? Seems he said, well, you said don't do it, I'll do it for you. It's very peculiar, very peculiar. Yet, I come back again, yet why? Moral-wise, faithfulness-wise, seems he was much better, much worse than Saul. Saul, the king Saul, not apostle, the king Saul was much better than David. Yet why God dislike Saul and just love David? Actually, the meaning of David is what? Beloved. His name is just beloved. He was supposed to be loved by everyone, right? Why God love him and he's that improper, unhealthy? You know, brother, that is where we are going to spend 11, 12, 13 messages on this, because I'll see how you respond. Then I'll find how I go. Then every outline will have to be written the day before, because I know how much can we advance. Do you get it? So this outline was written last night, because my thought was read the Bible is enough. Then I realized it doesn't work, because you have no idea what's going on. So we better quote the verses with the outline. So why he's after, according to God's heart, why he served his generation and slept, we will come, you know, in the coming messages, gradually made it more clear. But in the beginning, could I advise you, young man, remember that. Make a vow to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I want to let you know, I'm pretty messy. Do you agree with me? Whosoever disagree, raise up your hand. We'll give you a celebration because you lied professionally. Right? They tell the Lord, I'm pretty messy. Lord, I serve you, I love you for a few years. Already I found out I'm a hopeless case. Whosoever feels he's a hopeful case, you can also raise up your hand. We'll try to endorse you. Because that is possible. Many will say, no, I'm not that hopeless. I'm messy. But, listen. I am so-and-so. Listen. Sooner or later, I'll be elder of a church. And I will damage the saints. And sooner or later, I will give message and spoil all the congregations. And, brother, whatever that is, we were pretty messy. We are actually let me tell you honestly, hopeless. But pretty messy, hopeless. Can we tell the Lord these two things? Lord Jesus, I only have one prayer with two items. Number one, I want to be a man according to your heart. Is that hard? Young man with a hat. You know there's a Bible verse, you want me to quote it to you. Are you new? Are you second generation or new? Huh? Then I can quote you a verse. If a man pray and has his hair covered, what is the next verse? You know? Okay, that's good enough. But anyway, can you, young brother, can you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm pretty messy. Look, I don't even put a hat right. I mean, he's attractive. You stand up. In a good way. No, I'm not put you, I mean that. He's a handsome man. You see, with a head like that, he's charming. He is. Where are you from? Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor is second generation. Who's your dad? Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell your dad I said you're charming. You know, brother, can you as a young man tell the Lord, Lord, I'm pretty messy. Titus said I'm hopeless. I don't agree. I have a little hope, mini hope. But anyway, in my life, I only want to accomplish two things. Number one, I want to be a person according to your heart. Number two, I want to serve my generation. Do you get my point? Don't think these are simple. People either don't do anything or they want to do things for generations. Do you get my point? No. Here, the Lord's comments on a greatest servant he had in the Old Testament is that what? He's a man according to my heart. And he's a man serve his own generation. Once he served his own generation, the other generations, he has to learn to trust them to God. Do you get my points or not? It's irrelevant to him now. Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 2. The need of the man. Oh, sorry, I didn't read 1, right? God's heart desire and the man who is after God's heart. God has a heart desire, and God, and there's a man who's after God's heart. After God's heart. I just read the verse to you. When God has deposed Saul, in other words, God does not like him. We will have a message on Saul tomorrow morning and tell you how good he is. When I read it, I told brothers many times, I always have sympathy. I don't think God is fair. I don't think God is right. Because everything Saul did, and David did the same, and actually David did worse. Yet God was happy with David, was getting mad at Saul. Look like the leader has problems. You know what I mean? I don't like Saul. I love David. But I'll tell you tomorrow morning what David did and what Saul did. You'll find out what David did much worse. Yet God was no word. Seems happy about it. And Saul become a big issue. He's in trouble. He's old. And well, I have sympathy to him. But then we have to consider why. Why Saul did so well? God says, no. And David did so poor. God says, oh, really, this is really after my heart. This is the hardest part to read David. If you find this, then the whole story become very clear. Then whether you shave your mustache or not makes no difference anymore. Why you laugh? I'm speaking the truth. They all become minority. Minor, not minor. They all become minor. There's nothing important. But anyway, God deposed Saul. He raised up David for them as king. To whom also he testified. God testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man according to my heart, and who will do all my will. Well, I hope this is true, because this is actually a prophet. This is before, right? Before David's life. This was David before he was anointed. Before he was anointed. In other words, he was very young, right? God would point to Seth, says, I have found a man, Seth, right? God testified of him, I found Seth, the son of a Jew, a man according to my heart, and Seth will do my will. How old is Seth? 26. So you have no idea in the coming 60 years is true or not. In the coming 70 years is true or not. How about make you live 96? Maybe in coming 80 years, because the medicine advanced. So eventually, no one knows how long a man is going to live. Actually, it's scary. When you think about a man can live 100-some years old, it's very scary. When men live present, you know, 80, 90 is very common, you can see how crooked the civilization become. When man can live over 100-some years old, I don't know what kind of society we'll have. You understand what I say? Well, you don't, it's okay. In other words, the older the man is, the evil the man will become. Man is terrible. So everything with us is by God's mercy. Remember that, huh? Okay. You always say, Titus, can you begin your message? I am beginning. I'm just trying to tell you. I try to be very nice, nicely tell you, well, brother, a man after God's heart is not that easy to understand. You know, I have no intention to make you, okay, Lord Jesus, from now on, I will be person after your heart. But I want you to make a vow, Lord, I like to be a person after your heart. No matter how messy I am, no matter how terrible I can become, but I want to be a person after your heart. I may fail, I may be defeated, I may get myself caught with something very unhealthy. However, Lord, I still want to tell you, I want to be a person after your heart. Then I want to labor. My labor is for my generation. I want to labor to serve my generation. Okay, now, Roman numeral 2. The need of the man who serve his own generation. In other words, something is terrible now. God desires to see a man that can serve his own generation. Now David, having served his own generation by the counsel of God. It's actually, you consider, they both are from Acts 13. So it's the same message. In the same message, the apostle mentioned David twice. First mentioned his person, that he's after God's heart. Secondly, he is mentioning his labor, his service. He served his own generation. Why the generation needs someone to serve according to God's heart? Now we have to say the age of darkness. You have to see, even today, what is this? Today is the age of darkness. Okay, let's go in this way. There's God, and God has his operations in the Old Testament. God's operation in the Old Testament by three lines. Number one, remember, God has called Abraham. Then out of Abraham, God raised up Moses, right? Establish what? Establish priesthood. Did I write it right? P-R-I-E-S-T, right? Establish priesthood. So God desires to operate with his people through the priesthood. So God raised up Moses. Then God raised up, what, Aaron, right? Then from here, God hope his people can be properly kept. Then many times the priesthood would fail. So God would raise up kings. Okay, before the king, before David, they do not call king, or before Saul, they call judges, the same thing. God will raise up leaders. The leaders, kings, the leaders who can take care of God's people. Then sometimes the priesthood, the priest failed. Not priesthood, priest failed. Then the king or judges failed. So God always also raised up prophet. Prophets, huh? Prophets. Priests bring us to the Lord. The king bring God's rule to us. Then the prophets tell us how the Lord move. So basically, we have to realize in the Old Testament, there are only three lines. The line of the priests, the line of the kings, and the line of the prophets. And if you are, if you desire to be a healthy one before God, you have to be proper with the three lines. You have to be very proper, healthy, with a priest. You have to be very healthy with a king. You have to be very healthy to listen to the word of the prophets. When the three all are very healthy, then I tell you, everything's healthy. Just think about when David's kingdom was high, what was healthy? All three are healthy. David as a king, very healthy. David's priest, I forgot his name. I can't speak a name now. Very healthy. And there's prophet, Nathan. Is your name Nathan? I don't know if that Nathan grew a mustache or not. But anyway, that Nathan is very healthy. You know, because of the healthiness of the three lines, then what? Then the whole Israelites become very healthy. You know, brother, today, if a church wants to be healthy, local church, if a group of young people want to be healthy, if you yourself want to be healthy, you need the three things. Number one, I see something you practiced this morning was quite good. You need to be priest, or at least someone among you should be priest, who is able to bring people to God, who is able to bring God to the people. He lives in the Lord's presence. This morning, I take a little walk through the lobby, and so I see all you young people are sitting on the chair, quiet. Oh, you know what? You're exercising a life of being a priest. You have Christ. You have the presence of Christ. You live according to Christ. Eventually what? You bring God to man. You are able to bring God to man and bring man to God. That is priest. Then what? In any local church, when it is healthy, you need good leaders as kings or judges. To what? To execute whatever is in the heart of the Lord. They execute God's heart desire. So secondly, number one, you need the priesthood. Number two, you need kings. So a healthy local church always have healthy elders. Do you get my points? And a healthy group of young people always have healthy young people's leaders. Because why? Because as long as we're gathering, not only we need priests, we should be priests. Also, we need kings who are judges, who are able to carry us, to take us on. Is that clear? And thirdly, we need a prophet. We need a lot of divine speaking. If you come together, there's no speaking. If you come together, there's no word from the Lord. Then you know that something is wrong. When everything becomes healthy, in that healthiness, you must say there are also divine speaking. For instance, I surely like to ask, didn't you just have a mountain top? Is this time the top very high or not? Sometimes mountain go up and down, the mountain moves, right? I don't know whether the top is high or not. Let me ask you. In this mountaintop, is a lot of priests there? pray a lot before the Lord for the mountaintop. Pray a lot in the process. I enjoy the Lord a lot. Do you have? Yeah. Then do you have good kings or judges or not? That I think you do. You have so many serving ones coming together all the time, discuss what to do with mountaintop. Actually, I've told those kings and judges, I said, you may over. I dare not say much because I'm afraid I offend them or I say something against the Lord. But I did hinted or spoke in a light way, brother, you may overly coming together. Do you really need to come together like this? You know, sometimes when they come together, they have 50 come together. You don't need 50 come together. You just have 50. Everyone care for 20 people. You do a good job. You understand what I say? But anyway, I know you have good kings. Thoroughly scheduled, thoroughly planned. Then the thing I was wondering, do you have Lord speaking in the mountaintop? Do you? Lord spoke to you? What? Well, that's your last time. Last time you need to reach out. You even burn your wishes with candles. So this time still the same? Oh, more put in practice. So you got a lot saved in Goshen? Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, I tell you all, but you can say that. You say, well, even though we don't have enough speaking, that's why we come here to have a makeup. You know what I mean? So that we'll hear a lot of speaking in this week. So to meet whatever is lacking in the mountaintop. You know, brother, when Israelites or when any local church, the principle is the same. When there's no priestly life, no priesthood, not all the serving, no priestly life, not many are before God, not many praying for people before God and bring God to people, I tell you, that church life is very weak. Then when that church life without the king, then I tell you, that church life is very messy. Everyone say whatever is right. Everyone do whatever is right. And when a church life without priest, without the king, and also without a prophet, then I tell you all, that church life dead. Do you realize? Most churches, most local churches today, young sister, you are not a college anymore, are you? You are? You are a college. Where are you from? You are from Cleveland. Cleveland? Are you from Cleveland? Lorraine. Oh, okay. So Cleveland is the same. Is Cleveland pretty dead? Say yes. He doesn't want to say, because nobody wants to say, my local church is pretty dead. Everyone wants to say, my local church is the best on the globe, and even though we have no increase for 35 years, and we're the best local church. We love one another. Brother, you, sister, you, where are you from? Chicago. Well, I better not ask so much about Chicago. Chicago should be okay. How about, you say you are from Ann Arbor, right? Is Ann Arbor pretty dead? I tell you all, now you are trained. No, come on. I need your help. Come to the front. So they all can look at you. You really have a smart way to put on your hat. It's nice looking. You must love yourself. Is that from South Carolina? Is that?
Syracuse.
You're from Chicago. You study at Syracuse?
No, I'm from Ann Arbor.
No. Yeah, Ann Arbor is better than Syracuse. Why don't you put a hat on Ann Arbor? But anyway, you see, I tell you, he spent a lot of time to have that hat. just to make this edge a little bit rotten. Oh, it will take a lot of time. You don't usually get a head that nice looking, you know, just rotten to that point. Become very attractive, and at the same time, still have some class. Don't think I'm joking, right? Today, to have a worn out yet classy dress, that's very, very expensive. Now, young man, let me ask you all, in the church in Harbor, is there a priestly living? How about you? Well, you're tall. Taller than I. How the 176? Six?
6'2".
Yeah. I'm 5'8", so he beat me. But anyway, brother, is Harbor a priestly, a brother's practice of priestly living? You see, let me answer for you. I don't know, because I never go to prayer meeting. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right, brothers? I don't know, because I never go to prayer meeting. Am I right? Please, be honest. I should hear a loud amen, because that's exactly where we are. All right, then let me ask you, among you young people, do you have good kings who's willing to shepherd you, pay a price for your growth, to see you grow up? And are you a good judge to look at the sons who are younger than you, really willing to see them grow up? Uh-oh, flunk number two. So, in the church in Harbor, do you have a lot speaking from the Lord, even through you? Wow. I tell you what, brother. In these 12 meetings, you must come up twice to be tested twice. All right? And every time, 3 minutes. So learn to be a prophet. You laugh, so you will be the one twice too. Where are you from?
Columbus,
that's good. Columbus can discover the new territory, so Columbus can do everything. They can drive all the way to see a big hole and then they turn to something else. But anyway, praise the Lord. Brother, do you understand what I say here? Do you understand? That for the church in any locality, young people's work in any locality, or for Lord's testimony to be healthy, you must have, number one, priestly living. Number two, the kingship. Number three, the speaking of the prophet. You know, any one of the three is lacking, then I can assure you that church will become weak. So you need the three things. Thank you, brother. Huh? You need three things. Let me read to you now. Huh? Number one, the failure of the judges. In other words, the king's side, huh? They got into trouble. They can overcome. You know, there are 7 well-known judges. Huh? But seems they're very, very prevailing. Huh? They can overcome as what? Othniel, right? How do you pronounce that? Huh? Othniel, okay. Ehud, right? Then thirdly, what? Shemgar. Then these two are together. Huh? Then they can be... These are very positive. These three are very positive. The Bible only have a short record of them, and they did a good job. Then they can be a healthy leader as Gideon. You all know Gideon, right? 300 mighty men followed him. They have go to the mountaintop. They can be a healthy leader as Gideon. But you know what happened to Gideon? Gideon become very happy because he was so successful. Say he built ephod. He built the ephod himself. and establish a worship center at his home. So eventually, sorry, he's out. Then they can be strong and mighty as Samson. Everybody knows the story of Samson, right? And Samson was mighty. We all love to see that, how he killed the lions, how he killed the Philistines, and eventually that beautiful, attractive story. He was cheated by one of his a woman he was with, called a whatever, right? Then eventually he was shaved and his eye was plucked out, and he died a marvelous death, isn't it? I mean, he was right in the temple. He held the two sides of the pillar, right? Then he said, let me read that to you. I like that prayer, because that prayer shows how much he's not after God's heart. He's really, he's a terrible judge. If we turn to Judges chapter, this is 16, 17, right? Chapter 16, verse 28. Chapter 16, can you turn? You have it? Sorry, I didn't write it down. Chapter 16, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord. This is at the last moment. He was right in the temple now. He said, "Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray you, and strengthen me, I pray you, only this once, because I'm following your heart." No. He prayed, he said, "Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenger of the Philistines for my two eyes." Listen, I mean, he's a judge. A judge only cares for his two eyes. Can you find anyone more stupid than this guy? You should have read here, I said, how can the Bible consider him as a judge? Do you think he's qualified? Wouldn't you do better? You may not be able to destroy the whole scene, but at least you can kneel down and pray, "Lord, I repent for all my weakness, all my life. Please raise up another judge better than I. Amen." Well, that's the right prayer, right? Amen. I failed, but get someone better. But, you know, he said, "I pray thee only this once, oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Then, God, let me see. I think there's the verse says he was a judge for 20 years or something. Where is that? Verse 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoreth and Eshtel in the burying place of his father, right? And he was not qualified to be the judge for Israel for 20 years. Am I right? What is right? Huh? No. Even his death, he only cared for his eye. What kind of judge is this? And remember, and God should answer him, "Listen, Samson, you got it yourself. If you don't go to prostitute, you won't get into this trouble. Do you get my point? You behave badly, and you got the punishment that's ought to be. I will have the fire come down, burn the Philistines to prove I'm God, and without you using you, a wild animal." God didn't. God says, "Well, you are the judge." He answered his prayer, and eventually, you know, he judged, Bible recorded, he judged Israel 20 years. Do you like it? Do you hate it? You know, we are coming to the hard part now. How many of you hate it? Can you raise up your hand? No hand. How many of you? One hand. You hate it. How many of you like it? Can you raise up your hand? No hand. How many are chicken? Can you raise up your hand? You know, brother, it's interesting, huh? Do you like it? No. Do you hate it? You can't. All of a sudden, you should be elevated. you should realize God's operating is way beyond what is right, what is wrong, who is right, who is wrong. God just has his ways. Amen. Because of this, you should have a real rest. When I read these verses, on one hand, I say, Lord Jesus, you should take this verse away because this really disgraces you. What kind of judge you got? Could you find someone better? Do you understand what I say? This man, you want him? But on the other hand, I say, Lord, if Samson can be a judge, we are hopeful. Amen. Aren't we all hopeful? Amen. Can we say, shouldn't we say that? Lord Jesus, I'm hopeful. I may not as powerful as Samson in my life, but I may not as evil in my life as Samson. However, if Samson, you can still consider him as a judge. Oh God, I worship you. I am hopeful. You have a way through me. But anyway, listen. Here you tell you, with all the judges, everything become so bad. So none had a clear view of God's heart desire. What does that mean? I'm a judge. So I do what a judge ought to do. Why there's a judge? Why that need to be done? That's not my concern. Young brother, what's your name? Judge? Josh. Joshua. 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 Do you understand what I say? Let me say this. Do you come to the college training, right? Why? To learn. I tell you all the reasons. I like to listen to Titus because it's funny. I like to be with Titus because I do get some life or light. That's, I'm pretty sure. Am I right? Then I like to be here because I want to learn. I want to be trained. Then I got to be here because my father said, or the elder said. Then I tell you, it's the last moment they kidnapped me in the car and I end up here. All this could happen. So we are here, right? Let me ask you, is here the labor, please the Lord? You have to say yes. Yes or no. We are gathering here. Isn't this pleasing to the Lord? Well, sure, you have to say yes. Is your sitting here makes the Lord happy? Yeah, you have to say yes. Even you are kidnapped here, you have to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the brother who kidnapped me. That's why I'm here. I really realize it's way worth it. Am I right? But let me ask you, there is a spiritual thing you do. And when you do the spiritual thing, is this spiritual thing according to God's heart? Oh, they are totally different. This is why I tell you, come to David, it's hard to read. And I told myself, how stupid am I choose David? You see, Ruth is very easy, right? Then Elisha become a little bit hard. Now we got the real hard one. You know, brother, but do you realize that? After God's heart is one thing, doing the right thing is another thing. Just like with your parents. You just consider. Your parent says, study. You study very hard. Am I right? And then you become a top student. But let me ask you. You are a top student. You have the best grade. Are you the one who's really after your father's heart? There are two things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. My son. My son is afraid of me. Some of you know him pretty well. My son Joseph, he's afraid of me. I don't know. Maybe I was too strong or whatever when he was young. Or maybe he's only son, so I expect him a lot. So he realized I expect him a lot. He got a good job, got very well paid. And so he bought one car, another car. All his salary was on. He changed cars. You know, the first automobile he got, I said, oh, son, this is really good. Then a few months later, he says, I sold it. I said, well, if you sold it, you should have sold it to me. Because I said, you are losing $10,000-$20,000 on that one deal. You drive that car out, $10,000 is gone, $15,000 is gone. I said, you're losing a lot of money. Then he got a Porsche. Then he said, I sold it. Then he got another one. Then I sold it. He must have changing car every year. His salary possibly all go to car. Then he get another job. Salary was close to half of what he used to get because it's more relaxed. Then one day we were eating outside. All of a sudden he said something, I can't believe it. He said, Dad, do you mind let me pay this dinner for you today? I look at him. If he got such a high pay, always I pay the bill. He never said a word, Dad, let me pay. I was like, look at him. Wow, I was happy. Here's the one after my heart. Do you understand or not? I always had a feeling, how come my son is so distant with me? So cold. Do you get me? Actually, I know that he's scared. He dare not even to say, Dad, can I pay? Possibly his wife even told him, well, you shouldn't let your dad pay all the time. You should pay. So eventually he was very nice with his lawyer tongue, you know. Dad, do you mind let me pay it for you today? I look at him, I was so happy. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how big is the bill. If it's only $10, you pay. Wow, that makes me so happy. Brother, do you know there's a difference between loving the Lord and making him so happy? Here are all the judges. This one come, I did something. That one come, I did something. This one come, I led the Israelites. We made the victory. That one come, I killed the Philistines. But eventually God says, you all did all these things. Which one knows my heart and satisfied my heart? This is why Paul talked about David. David is the one, what they say, David is the one after God's heart. If you ask God's law, there are certain things you have to do. You ask God's what? Operating principle. There are certain things you have to do. Eventually here he says, no. It's no longer a matter of law, no longer operating principle, not any of this. Eventually, the Lord says, I desire to have someone to go after my heart. I tell you, I gain the judges. And they are marvelous judges. They are powerful. They are bold. They are aggressive, right? They gain the victory for my people. Yet, for one thing I have to say, I can look into their success. I have no satisfaction. Do you get my point or not? When my son drove a Porsche to my home, the first thing I said, son, get this car to the garage. This is why I said, I don't want any neighbor to see it. This was in Los Angeles, not in Cleveland. In Cleveland, I'll tell him, don't drive into the parking lot of the church meeting place. He can tell me, Dad, look, I made it, right? Yamaha have a Porsche, you made it, right? Now, the father would say, you didn't make it. I don't like it. You thought you have done something. To you, you have to say, Dad, look, your son is successful, made a lot of money. And then to the father, say, no, I don't even care about this. Yes, I want you to have a decent life. Yes, I want you to have a good income. Yes, I want to be respected. But what I'm really after is not any of this. Do you get my point or not? So one day, he said, Dad, do you mind I pay the dinner, the how do you call that thing? I pay the check or some bill. Do you mind I pay? I look at him, I can't believe it. I have been waiting for this 32 years, finally I heard it. You know, one day your son treats you a dinner, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? I've been waiting for this 30 some years. Finally I got, oh, that day I was so happy. I see here, my son begins to grow up, begins to be a man now. Do you understand what I say? He began to understand where the father is. Then I was very happy. I gave him a call. I say, son, that's 2 weeks ago. I say, I will be away from your mom for 6 weeks. Now you work in Los Angeles, so please, every weekend, at least spend a day with your mom. So Saturday, I called my wife. I found out the son drive over, pick him up, then take him to the beach. Do you get my points? I walk around the beach, then let him have a nap at his apartment, then take him to a good Hua Hua restaurant. Oh, I'm very happy. Brother, do you ever realize, Joshua, do you ever realize God really cares? Are you after his heart? And not care how mighty you are. You understand what I say? Don't say that. The meeting's dead. Don't worry. I'm here. What? The young people do not love the Lord, do not love the Lord. Don't worry. Give that to me. Give him to me. I have a way to work with him. I know how to handle him. Brother, you can do all this. And nobody should despise this. Just like no one should despise his judges, no matter how terrible they are. You can say, I don't like Samson. God says, he was my judge for 20 years. Didn't God give you a good spank? You understand what I'm talking about? You begin to say, God, what kind of person is this? Samson? What kind of person? Even his last prayer is a selfish prayer. Revenge me for my two eyes. Yet he was taking care of the country. Isn't that stupid to the uttermost? So we say, oh God, I hate you have a judge like this. God will say, wait a minute. He is my judge for 20 years. And you haven't loved me really for 2 hours together all your life. Am I right or not? Because all these 3 minutes, 4 minutes add together maybe 2 hours. All the rest time you forget about the Lord. But even Samson, even Gideon, even those great teachers, great leaders, eventually judges end up so sad. Why? Because not one understand cares for God's heart desire. What is in God's heart? What God, our Lord, really go after? That is no longer with us, yet we are very busy with doing the things of him. Do you get my point or not? Ignite can be in God's heart. Ignite can be only a ignite. Do you get my point? Mountaintop can be according to God's heart. Mountaintop can only be a mountaintop. This kind of young people's training can be only a training with a study of a person. This young people training can also be meetings according to God's heart. It's very surprising. To us, if we do the things, it's good enough. To the Lord, no. It's not you do the thing. It's you do the thing. Are you doing it according to my heart? I care for my heart more than anything else. Lord have mercy. Brother, do you realize here it says, all these judges, they are not according, they do not have a clear view of God's heart's desire. Therefore, they are committed, like what? Today you call the project leader. So used to Chinese. Do you understand what I say? In other words, here's the commitment. Get it done. Once get it done, you are over. No, God do not want project leaders. God do want Jesus lovers. These lovers eventually satisfies God's heart. Then, more than that, the failure of prophets and the prophet, the priest and prophet. Not only the king, the judges fail. Then the priests fail. The prophets fail. The word of the Lord was rare in these days. God doesn't speak much. You do not hear much God speaking. Then visions were not widespread. Because Eli, is his name Eli, right? The priest Eli. Eli's old. He was the judge, the last judge actually. After him, Samuel, then it's over. You know, Eli was a judge. But when he was a judge, nothing was clear with him. Pardon? He was a priest and a judge, both. He was a priest and a judge, yeah. So as a priest, He failed. That's why here says, no. 灯光黑暗. Oh, you go to second message. Sorry. There is a verse. The light. Point C. Yeah, the lamp of God has not yet gone out. In other words, that is related to priest. Here, you have a healthy priesthood, then the lamb is burning. But because he was so unhealthy, so there's so little testimony come out. He was very little in the Lord's presence. The Lord can do very little through him. And more than that, there's not much speaking. The word of the Lord was rare in these days. Visions were not widespread. Then more than that, the failure of people, Israelites, now is in a bad shape. You can see that. When the king failed, when the priests failed, when the prophets failed, when all three failed, then the people are really in bad shape. The failure of the people, God's chosen people, has fallen and corrupted on the matters of worship, morality, even the terrible slaughter among the tribes. Even Israelites began to kill one another. Let's just read the verse there. Then all the children of Oh, maybe I can you turn to Judges? I'll begin to read some verses to you, so because it's not all here. There was a, after that actually was a, after Samson, there was a sad story, right? A man built a temple at his own home. Micah. What chapter is that? 17. Oh, can I read to you? Yeah, here. Oh. It's interesting. Micah was a funny, interesting man. He stole a lot of money from his mother. Then possibly his conscience bothered him. He returned it to his mother. And so his mother was very moved by such a marvelous son. So he used 200 shekels of silver to make two images. One is carved, one is molded. Made two images. And then Micah saw that in his household there are two images. So he asked his son to be the priest. Did you realize everything's out of now? Nothing there is healthy. Yet, it's just like denominations. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I say? Well, of course, be careful. It can also become denominize the local churches. Same thing, right? So just when you say denominations, which also include the denominized local churches, just whatever you want to do, whatever you think is right, so you made the image, just think about them, even for the money. The money was stolen, the money was given back to the mother, then the mother was moved by it, so the mother used 200 of the 1100 to make two images, and after these two images, the son take advantage of it, make himself a money collecting center, a worship center, so asking one of his sons to be a priest, yet they are not Levites. They have no right to do things like this. Okay, so could you turn to 17 verse 4? Yet he restored the money unto his mother. That's he's stolen all the money, right? And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a founder, who made thereof a graven image, carved image, and a molded image, molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods. Could you believe these are Israelites? Do you understand what I say, Joseph? You understand what I say? Huh? Joshua. Do you understand what I say, Joshua? You know what Joshua means? Huh? Yeah, Joshua is Jesus. Same word. So his name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus? Joshua, huh? Well, do you understand what I say? See here, after Samson, because the judge fell like this, so eventually the whole Israelites was utterly in corruption. Then eventually Micah had a house of gods and make an ephod. So he made ephod himself now, and idols, and consecrated one of his sons who became a priest. So eventually what? He hired a Levite as his priest. That leads in a real ugly story, right? Then eventually Dan come, the whole tribe of Dan came, rob his house, and capture these idols, and consider these idols as God of Jehovah God, and bring them to way north. I tell you, this is terrible. Then after that is another real terrible thing happened, right? A Levite married someone, and eventually the woman died. So after that, all the Israelites that was killed by Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. So all the Israelites, that is in chapter 20. Then all the children of Israel went out, chapter 20, verse 1. And the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba. Dan is way north. Beersheba is way south. So from the most north to most south, even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead. Gilead's an extra place. And to the Lord in what? In this called the Mizpah. How do you pronounce this? Mizpah. Chinese. Usually I read in Chinese Bible, so once come to this, it's hard for me. And the chief of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, present themselves in the center of people of God, 400,000 footmen that draw sword. How big is the army now? 400,000. I think that's maybe just as big as U.S. now. I don't know what is your army number. There's so many people who are able to fight, all come together to do what? Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone there. Eventually they have a fight. Let me read to you some of verses. Verse 20. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of Israelites that day 22,000 men. Think about how many you killed in Iraq. That's only 120s. It's a little bit over 1,000. Am I right? 1,500. So close to maybe 15%. It's out of 22. The 22,000 were killed in one day among themselves. Brother, let me tell you this. When religious people fight, they're really harsh. These are religious people. They have the name of God. They are God chosen people. Because something they don't agree, which they have the right to not agree. Yet because they don't agree, they fight, and the Benjamin strike back. Benjamin must be a powerful tribe. They know how to fight. So they fight back, and Israel were killed. How many were killed? So many, right? 22. Then they kill them again, right? I think they kill again. Okay, it's verse 25. And Benjamin, verse 25. Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of children of Israel again 18,000. So how many were killed altogether? 40,000. Could you believe Benjamin, that one tribe, will kill other 11 tribes in 2 days, 40,000 people? Could you believe in that? Why? No one go after God's heart. Everyone fight what is right in their own eyes. I feel you shouldn't do this. Yes, we shouldn't do this, but we cannot tolerate you. And then eventually the argument coming in, eventually there's a real heavy slaughtering. So eventually they pray. That is the interesting part. Let me see if I can find the verse. Eventually they pray to Jehovah. Jehovah said, you can go. Where is that? 27. And the children of Israel inquired the Lord. Verse 28, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? Can I go kill my brother? And they really prayed. Do you want to pray like that? Sometimes I give a message, the brother get mad. One day, at least one day, I gave a message. That was a large congregation, at least close to 2,000 cents. One brother get mad. Get up, walk to the front, one beat me up. But it's good that the other saints pull him down and he was quiet on the seats. You know, brother, listen to this prayer. Can we go? Can we go? I say this, brother, as I told you, they're not easy to read. But it will, after this hard part is over, will become easier. Do you realize? They would even pray. They would even pray. Can we go pray? Can we go kill my brother, our brother, right? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into the hand. And this part, I don't even like the Lord now. Shouldn't the Lord say, shut up. You are brothers. You said, can I go fight against my brother, right? The Lord should have said, shut up. You are brothers. Repent. You all repent together. The Lord didn't say, the Lord says, and I for sure the Lord says, right? Because written in the Bible, so it's not false. It's real. And the Lord God says, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver the Benjamins into your hand. I hate it. This is why many places in the Bible I hate it. You know why I hate it? Because God is after man, after God's heart. And we are after, have my prayer be answered. Did that Lord answer his prayer? Is that God's heart? Do you think God will be very happy? God will say, oh, whee, finally I can see you kill one another. I like that picture. Oh, I can see the blood. Ah, go ahead tomorrow. Go ahead and kill them. Do you think so? Or God will say, go up. I don't like it. I hate it. I hate to see brothers fight against brothers. But what can I do? That's what you want. Do you understand what I mean? God's heart and God's lead seem to become two things. To Israelites, that was clear. The Lord has told us to do so. To God will say, no, this is not my heart. I do not want this to happen. But if you ask, if you even ask, can we fight with our brother? Then let me tell you, you can. Many times, brother, I don't know if you understand or not. Can I warn you? Many times you would say, the Lord answer my prayer. Many times you would say, I'm very clear, the Lord has told me to do so. Even to the point, the leading ones, hard for the leading one even to answer you. Because you said, the Lord has told you to do so. Do you get my point or not? However, with many experienced ones, they know, yes, even the Lord may have told you to do so, that is not Lord's heart. You know, the hardest part we study David is we have to struggle to see why this is a man so much after God's heart. Not so much he's doing right. This is why to study David is hard. Let me ask you, when they prayed and when God answered and say, Lord says, go up for tomorrow, I will deliver them unto you. I will give you a victory. Do you think that was God's heart? Or that merely was God allowing? God would say, what can I do? If the situation come to this, I have to go to bring you through a process. With this process, I may finally manifest my heart. Yet the problem is, we are so happy with this process. I say the mountaintop. I'm for mountaintop. I'm with you, brother, on mountaintop. Anyone say any negative things about mountaintop, I'm offended. I defend you, brothers. I defend the serving ones. Brother, what do you realize that? Within me, I know. God is not for mountaintop. God is not against mountaintop. God's heart is after you all. And God is after you all following him alone. That is crucial, rather than what is right. So eventually they prayed. Young brother, you understand? And God even said, go up. So they followed that, and they went up, right? That is 28. Says, go up. Then, where is that? The verse, eventually they fight. They killed many, right? Okay, verse 46. So that all which fell, that is Benjamin, fell the day, that day of Benjamin. All which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men and drove the sword. In other words, the mighty man, the fighter, they killed 25,000. All these were men of Valiah. In other words, they are mighty men. Then, but 600 men turned and fled. You see, you just consider, what a battle. Brother against brother. It's not against Philistines. You know what I mean? Those guys in Canaanites. They're not fighting with them. They are fighting among themselves. The first, Benjamin went to war. One was 22,000, one was 18,000, but it's out of 11 tribes. So each tribe just a few thousand. And these 11 tribes prayed to God. And God even said, go up, I will deliver Benjamin to you. So they win the victory. They killed 25,000, only 600 left. How powerful is this? Eventually, the whole tribe terminated, disappeared. Do you get my point? Now they do something even more funny. You know why? Because they began to say, we do not, where is that verse? We shouldn't let that tribe disappear. Now, okay, verse 20, chapter 21, verse 1. Are you okay when I read like this? Are you able to follow me? Huh? Yeah, as long as I see the verses. Do you, brother, understand what I say or not? Huh? Are they interesting? Oh, okay, so I'm okay, huh? Because I tell you, we are struggling with concepts, so it's not easy, huh? Now, chapter 21, verse 1. Now the man of Israel has sworn to in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. Because they all got killed. They have no wife anymore. And the people came to the house of God, and abode there till even before God, and lift up their voices and wept sore. And they said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass to Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking of Israel? In other words, oh Lord, after they killed the tribe, they found out, what did I do? I like this, because at least this time they didn't say, God, what did you do? If you haven't told us, go up. We won't do this. We're stupid enough to pray to you. You should not be stupid enough to answer us. You understand what I'm talking about? But I'm very happy here. They didn't blame God. They say, God, it's all because of you. So they're much better than us today. We blame God. God, it's all because of you. We prayed. You answered. That's why it's messed up like this. But they really say, oh Lord Jesus, there are 12 tribes. Now Benjamin tribe is gone. What should we do now? So he said, and we have all vowed to not give our daughter to them for wife. There are only 600 men left, right? So, oh Lord Jesus, what should we do? There's one tribe will be disappeared. And verse 4, and came to pass on the morrow, and people rose early and built their altar and offered burnt offering, peace offering. I don't know why they have to do all this. I appreciate what they did. In other words, they still come Lord's Day morning in the meetings. You appreciate that. But you just wonder, don't you know what you are doing? You fight with another. Okay, Benjamin was terrible by firstly killed a woman in such an evil way. And secondly, kill 40,000 of you. This is terrible. And you are just as terrible. Pray to God. And eventually you kill 25,000 of them and you terminate that tribe. Afterward, oh Lord Jesus, we lost one brother. What kind of funny people? Brother, you know Mark, you know why they're so funny. Your name's Mark, right? Luke, why they're so funny, do you know? Because they have no thought of what God's heart is. They were all caught with, do this, don't do this, this is right, that is wrong. The judges are terrible. Eventually, the Israelites become terrible. So eventually they say, okay, they all can't have wives. So what should we do now? We all vowed before God will not give our daughter to them. So then they, you know, the worshiping place is where, is where is that verse? Verse 19. Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh, yearly in the place. Shiloh is where they worship, where the tabernacle is. Yeah? That in Shiloh, yearly, a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem. In other words, Shiloh is a place that with Lord's presence, because it's where Bethel, the house of God, and the Shechem, the power of God. When the house of God and the strength of God together, it become a place that really satisfied to the Lord. And the south of Lebanon. Therefore, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, they tell Benjamin, saying this, go and lie in wait in the vineyard and see, this is interesting, and see, and behold, if a daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, because of festival, right? The girls came out to dance. If they come out dance to dances, they come yet out of the vineyard and catch you every man his wife of the daughter of Shiloh. Just rob a wife. Could you believe in that? You know, I purpose read the story to you to tell you what the age is this. You know, they firstly, the judges failed, and then they build they make them their house, a place with idols, and they put ephod themselves, they make the non-Levites a priest, and then they then even capture this, then would come down to capture these idols, to bring them north to worship Jehovah. Everything is terrible. Then eventually they fight with another. Benjamin killed 40,000 of them. They killed 25,000 of Benjamin's. Eventually they slaughter the people. Then they won't have wife anymore. So he says, okay, so you don't have wife anymore. And we made a vow. I'm surprised they keep that stupid vow. Do you understand what I mean? This is stupid. You see how stupid are religious people? Religious people are very stupid. Why do you have to keep that vow? No, I made a vow. If you made the vow, you better not kill them. After you kill them, you still keep your vow. You must be very stupid. You know, they're stupid. Then they say, okay, so now you don't know what to do now. There's a beautiful festival, once annual festival in Shiloh or something. You go there, lay in the vineyard. In other words, they don't see you. When you see a woman come over, a young girl come over, grasp him, make him his wife, so Benjamin tribe can still exist. Could you believe in these kind of things? Could you believe? When you read this, you just had a feeling, what a group of monsters are there. No culture, no civilization, in the name of God, do whatever they want to do. So eventually, every man, his wife, or the daughter of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. Then you go back to Benjamin. And verse 22, and the children of Israel departed since at the time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from since every man to his inheritance. In these days, there were no king of Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you see that? Now you understand what the ages is. Do you get it? Now, the failure of the people. I think we read these verses. However, I'm happy. When you read this, you just had a feeling, Lord Jesus, I wish you have never called Israel. You should either call Americans or Canadians or Chinese. They're much better people. Why should you call a group of people like this to be your chosen people? Do you get my point? The age is so dark. Now, however, the Lord still keeps the purity among his people. The leaders fail now. The leaders fail, but the people has not failed. So some of the people, like what? Like Boaz and Ruth, they still live so pure before God. Did you read the book of Ruth? Did you, young brother? Yeah. Did you have that book, the message we gave? No, the young man behind you. No? Your dad has it. So it's the same. Whosoever had the same. Did you read it? You should read it. I tell you, I still love that. It's different now. All of a sudden you find out, do not tell me to go back and not follow you. Your God shall be my God. You look at it. You had a feeling, Lord, I want to be out of religion. I want to be out of all the struggling. I want to be so pure before you. I want to love you alone so I can be a man after your heart. So eventually, when the whole thing, you look at it, you just have to say, unbelievable, unbelievable. These are the story of Israelites. With judges, it's terrible. Without judges, they have idols in their home. And more than that, they fight with another, they slaughter one another, even to the almost terminate one tribe. Then they try to restore that one tribe by telling them to lay down, kidnap, capture, steal a woman, and make the tribe continue. Everything you look at it, you say, is ugly to the uttermost. Yet God says, I kept myself Boaz and Ruth. Why the book Ruth is so precious? Because here you have a young sister and you have a man, Boaz. They really go after the heart of the Lord. They are not manifest great workers, yet they are so pure. They say that we are after God's heart. And at the same time, the point C, you have to appreciate, the Lamb of God has not yet gone out. God says, you are terrible, you failed, in every aspect. Oh, I look at the Israelites, I realize there's almost a hopeless case, but I will keep my testimony. So the light, the lamp, was still there. God was then looking for a man who was after his heart. Now do you have the background now? You understand what I say? Now I give you the background. Now, starting from tonight, we'll gradually bring in David. Maybe tomorrow morning we will see David. I will give you a clear comparison. What is the difference between Saul and David? And why eventually David is after God's heart? Lord have mercy. Can we have one or two brothers pray? Close our meeting.